The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to then help me." But the Lord said to Martha, answered Martha, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from you." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson this morning, we just heard Martha taking seriously the role and identity her society held for her as someone who would host a guest. As a woman in her society, her responsibility was to tend to food preparation and cooking. Which is why Martha finds what Mary is doing so troubling. It comes off as rude and disrespectful to their guests. Jesus has a way of redefining life as we know it. In our society, credentials impress us. And the identity that's thrusted upon us from our society is important. A system of credentials that we've made up and who we think we are as the world tells us who we are, that's where oftentimes our identity gets grounded in. And society then defines what is good and what is bad. Society defines what is acceptable and what is deviant. This morning, Riley Smith will be baptized. And when looking at her, most of us would say that she can't be that bad, right? Look at her. This beautiful, sweet child that's among us. And quite frankly, when even we look at ourselves in the mirror, perhaps we rationalize from time to time, "I'm not that bad." Which makes the words that we heard from Paul in Colossians sound so harsh. He says, "And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." Our society is quick to condemn these words of Paul. There has been a weaponization of original sin that has abused many in our society. But the truth that humanity is not only capable of you. Read and listen to the news. We know that this capability and reality of our capacity to do evil in the world is not only true, but it stings. We make the mistake of projecting our feelings onto God. We think our accomplishments and our credentials matter in this world. They must matter to God. We think we can impress God. We impress ourselves and create hierarchies that foster environments of those who are included and those who are excluded. But holy baptism for Riley, holy baptism for you and for me, is entering into a life where we are free from the yardsticks of the world and are immersed in the love of God that does not see distinctions that we create in our world. This sacrament is more than an event or just a rite of passage. It's about being immersed in the new creation that we have in Christ. And the baptismal life is about being nurtured into the way of Jesus, which shows us a new way of being a human being. The credentials and standards of this world don't impress God, and in the end, they don't really impress us either. The system that we have created comes back to haunt us, comes back to judge us, and it makes us feel insignificant. We are pressured to present the perfect life, the perfect package in this society. And when we fall short, we cover ourselves in how the world would rate us based on our failure to live up to our credentials and our worldly identity. Earlier this week, we saw an image from the Webb telescope that gave us a picture of the universe that we've never been able to get at before. And it totally blew many people's minds away. The universe is much older and more vast than we could have imagined. And I noticed some atheists and anti-theists focus on how insignificant then we are as people. But if we focus too much on that, I believe that can lead to nihilism. Then I came across this quote from a rabbi in which they said, "Take two slips of paper to keep at all times. On one slip of paper, write, 'I am only dust and ashes.' On the other, write, 'The universe was created for me.' If you are feeling arrogant or smug or overly self-important, take out the first and read it. 'I am only dust and ashes.' If you're feeling low or bad about yourself or lacking confidence, take out the second and read it. 'The universe was created for me.' This is the paradox that we are humbled by. The vastness of creation, yet at the same time in awe of a God that cares about you and me personally. The world likes binary thinking. The world likes to think of humanity as either just good or bad. But we Lutheran Christians, we like to say what? It's both and, right? Paul's line in Colossians is harsh if you only think about people in a binary as just being bad. But when we live into the paradox, it's different. When we see that we are both good and bad, broken and redeemed, that changes things. We can be in awe of the vastness of the universe and at the same time celebrate the uniqueness and the particularity of each and every one of us. We can look at Riley Smith and celebrate that unique, particular human being, that unique and particular beloved child of God. We can celebrate all these things at once. We don't have to pick. And the thing that we're not really crazy about as human beings, and you've heard me say it before, is that there's nothing you can do. The vastness of the universe, our existence, and our salvation is not in your control. And we love to be in control. So if we like to be in control, that might not seem very much like good news, but it is the good news. Because God has all of this. And God has all of this figured out. And that good news is that we're not covered in our failures and in our shortcomings or in the system that we've created. We are covered in the grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness of our God. And covered in that love, we cling to the credentials of our Savior. As we heard in Colossians, we cling to the one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, things in heaven and on earth were created. In him, all things hold together. Through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. This is God's work, not ours. But we're invited to be centered in the love of God in this new life that we have with Jesus Christ. And going back to our gospel lesson, Mary and Martha are showing us aspects of Christian discipleship. Both are being transformed by Jesus. Both are being redefined by Jesus. And both are really focused on Jesus. I know we like to make Mary the one that's just focused on Jesus, but hey, Martha invited Jesus in to begin with. So she's focused on Christ too here. But what we see, what we need to be centered in is the Word. The Word is what feeds us and nourishes us. And I'm not just talking about the Scriptures. We know of the Word that was made flesh, Jesus Christ. When we're centered on that, that feeds us and nourishes us and transforms us in such a way that we're able to live into Christian service. Because Mary shows us the importance of the ministry of the Word, and Martha shows us the importance of the ministry of service. That Greek word that you might be familiar with now, diakonia. It's not about which one is better. It's about how both are very necessary. But service without the Word will burn you out, and in the end won't even make much sense, because we're not doing it being grounded in that life-giving, transformative spirit of renewal that we have in Jesus Christ. Mary and Martha's expression of ministry give us also an insight to baptismal responsibilities that we'll hear in a moment. The baptized are expected to live among God's faithful people, to worship, to be brought to the Word of God, and to the Holy Supper, to be taught the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, to learn the Holy Scriptures, to be nurtured in a life of faith and prayer, so that Riley will trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others in the world God made, and work for justice of peace. You see that centering in the Word and then moving to service in sharing the love of Jesus. Notice our mission statement is we're centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, and then sent forth to share the love of Jesus. It's a both and. The life, the baptismal life that we have, is sitting with Christ, being pointed to Christ, and then serving in ways that share the love of Jesus. We are redirected, redefined, transformed. As Kathy Lessman puts it, there's something about grace and mercy that changes egocentric hearts into hearts willing to suffer and die for each other, whether they deserve it or not. It's really quite amazing how behavior changes. And then she invites us to listen in. Ouch, dear parent, dear spouse, dear friend. You really nailed me this time. It hurts like crazy, but I'm not going to retaliate. Here, take my hand. Or, dear friend or stranger, I can tell you're carrying a heavy burden. Can you tell me about it? Can I help you? Or, dear one, I can see you're walking through the valley of the shadow. May I walk with you? The good news for Riley and all the baptized is that our identity is first and foremost in Christ. We are beloved children of God, not by anything that we've done, but what Christ has done, and we're covered in God's amazing grace. And Riley gets to join us in this new life that we have in Christ. And she gets to be invited to this wonderful paradox, where on the one hand, she is uniquely, beautifully, wonderfully made, and at the same time, we get to tell her, it's not about you. Right? That's the paradox. That's the Christian life. A love that lifts us up and a love that calls us out. A love that seeks to be shared. A love that there's always enough for everyone. And a love that is without end. Thanks be to God. Amen.